welcome to the FinTech Scaling Show. This podcast is sponsored by Scale Up Consulting, helping FinTech startups create a scalable organization to support an ever-increasing demand. When you're ready to grow, reach out to us at richard@scaleupconsulting.co. Now, over to the show with Richard Doherty, founder and host. Hey, what's up, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the FinTech Scaling Show, where we talk to founders, executives, evangelists, and we get their insights as to what it takes to not only scale up their company, but also in the process, scale up themselves, which is an important part of the journey. And super excited to welcome Yorick back onto the show today. Yorick is the CEO of Bux, and you know, we were just chatting a few seconds ago. Bux is on an amazing journey of growth and expansion through various parts of Europe. I'm sure we get a bit more insights into what's going on in their world today. But nonetheless, mate, welcome back, and great to see you and happy new year.
Yeah, thanks, Richard. Great to be back. Of course, we've got a long-standing relationship, and it's good to stay in touch. And you know, every now and then, just have an update with each other, see how things are going. And hopefully also share my views a little bit on what I see happening in the markets.
Awesome, awesome. And as we dive into the discussion, I just want to give everyone a bird's eye view as to what we're going to be chatting about. And you know, we're going to take a look back at 2021 and more importantly, look forward into 2022 and see what's going to be working. What's going to help you as a founder, an executive out there, scale up your business? And the same token, the same breath, what should you avoid? What's dead? What's yesterday's news? But before we get started, I think it's important to understand what it means to scale. What does it actually mean to scale a business? And some people think that scaling a business means maybe to grow a business. But quite interesting is that the term scale and grow are actually not synonymous. Anyone can grow a business if you pour enough capital, enough money into it, either your own or investment capital. But to create an efficient and profitable business that will not only survive but thrive now in this new world, this new economy, and into the future, you know, I feel that scaling means to expand efficiently while you're achieving those healthy profits. So scaling is about efficiency, growth, and profits. And I'd like to bring you into the conversation now, Yorick. I said profits at the end there. And in terms of profits, I'm not just talking about money in the bank accounts, because we can look at profits in that fashion. I'm talking about, you know, what are these profits that you can unlock in your business that allows you to expand maybe quicker, maybe sort stuff out more efficiently than others. And yeah, I'd like to get your insights on this. I mean, what are you doing? What have you done? Well, actually, what are you doing in 2022 to sort of expand those profit zones in your business that allows you to sort of, you know, get towards where you're going, right?
Yeah, no, these are very good points, Richard. And let me at least explain how I look at this, because There's a specific view that I have on this. In the end, if you look at us as a firm, but basically for any firm that that is growing quite quickly and needs to scale, in the end, it all comes down to the people, right? It's the people that drive the company forward. It's the people that create the value for the company. And it's the people that also make sure that you are able to scale further and further. And in the end, that's where the challenge also lies when you scale up. And indeed, that also creates already that difference between growth and scaling up. Because with growth, I can pour indeed a lot of marketing money in the company and we will grow with regards to number of clients. But that doesn't mean that we will grow sustainably, right? So in order to do that, you need to make sure that you unlock the talents that you have in-house from your people. And that's actually a lot more difficult than people think because you are scaling. In the beginning, when you just start up, right, then you have a very limited number of people. You're probably all in the same area. You can see each other and you can communicate very well with each other. But the moment you're plus 100 FTE, for example, then all of a sudden it becomes a lot more difficult. And then you have different hierarchical orders, the company becomes layered a little bit more. And you kind of have to, right, to also professionalize. But then unlocking those talents from people becomes a lot harder because you also, the visibility that you have towards those people becomes less and less. Yeah. So that's, I think, one of the biggest challenges that any scale-up is facing. And especially if I talk for myself, in 2022, this is where we pour in a lot of effort and time to really unlock indeed those profits you just mentioned.
And let's stay on that for a second. And I'm with you. People are going to drive your ship forward, right? But we can say we need to unlock it. And I get it. I get the statement. I get the challenge. But what are we doing? What are you doing to unlock it? Are there certain programs set up? Is there mentoring? What exactly are you doing? I don't want to say differently, but what are you doing to make certain that this talent pool stays with you for the journey and you're able to get as much out of them as you want? And also in the same breath, they able to achieve their purpose and their goals in their careers and their lives. Because that's also an important point, right?
Correct. And there's three things that we do specifically. First and foremost, you want to make sure that everybody within the company is incentivized the right way.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that doesn't stop with just giving people a certain wage, right? Or paying a monthly bill for them or helping them out from that perspective. It goes a lot further than that. You want to make sure people have the feeling that they have skin in the game. So we're looking at like stock option plans, right? Those kind of things to really incentivize people to grow with the company. Yeah. And you don't give it as a one-off, but you do it on a recurring basis. So people can definitely have that carrot to really accelerate. That's the first thing. Second thing is we have dedicated focus on the people domain. So we have also a VP of people and culture. That person is in the management team with us and effectively is just focused on making sure that people are happy, they're enabled, and they can develop further within the company. So that's the second point. The third thing is if you are scaling, the biggest issue basically is that these organizations within the firm become too big. So the departments become too big, too many reporting lines, and then people lose focus. So what we're really trying to do, and that's, I think, very critical for any scale up, is to create smaller groups of people that have dedicated focus within the company. So think about chopping up the company in pieces. Yeah. Have a dedicated team focused on just one part of the company only with a multidisciplinary team. Now, that also enables people that to have the feeling as if they're running their own company within the company. And that is the third thing we're trying to do to really enable the talents further. And it also helps because the manager, the people that oversees that group of people effectively, still has very short reporting lines and very much dedicated a view on how people are performing and how they can be enabled with regards to their growth.
I like that because you mentioned the top of your answer that you mentioned skin in the game, and at the back you mentioned accountability and giving your team and team members the ammunition to actually drive forward and take ownership of whatever it is they need to take ownership of, right? And how does that play out in day-to-day scenarios? What are you seeing work right as opposed to maybe in larger corporations that are slightly more bureaucratic, more hierarchical, work differently?
Yeah, so, I mean, I come from a very large corporate, actually.
I know, that's how I answered the question.
Yeah, that's a good question. So, I mean, it's more than 8 years ago now, but I very well remember my past, obviously. But look, in the end, what you have inside a more corporate organization is that there are a lot of layers, right? And those layers are creating also some kind of politics. And that's the last thing that you want to have within your company. And it's a big pitfall. I think in the very early stages, you need to be aware of that and really make sure that that doesn't play a role. And there are very small aspects that can already make you fall into that pitfall that sometimes you don't even recognize, right? A person just asking for a salary raise, for example, and you give it to them. It's actually a very small pitfall because people do it all the time, especially if their performance is okay. But if you break the normal cycle on how to do performance reviews and stuff like that, and you give somebody incidentally a salary increase, for example, then other people are going to expect it as well. And then you're starting to get politics. Everybody's going to ask for it. And that's the last thing you want to have. So the most important thing that I've learned actually from the more corporate environment is that you need to have a certain structure in place and you need to be very consistent with that structure. But that structure needs to fit, of course, the scale-up company a lot better. So it doesn't need to be, you know, a very sophisticated salary framework with all kinds of talent reviews, with scoring systems and stuff like that. You don't need to go that far because then the human aspect disappears. And that's the thing that you need to maintain, I think, in the scale-up environment. So if you, it's a hybrid, if you will. Make sure you have that human approach, that human touch, that people don't feel like a number, and make sure that those reporting lines are small or short. Make sure there's active collaboration with all those people, and at the same time have structure and consistency to make sure that, you know, you avoid any politics. And if you do that the right way, I think you can scale up quite nicely.
Nice. I like it. I like it a lot. And some sound advice. And if we take a step forward and we look at 2022, and I know you're in London now after a bit of a tumultuous January. I won't let anyone know what happened. But it was all good, right? You know, we're in 2022 now and we're looking ahead. What's exciting you now? What is exciting you about business, about financial markets, and also about the year ahead with the economy in the year ahead? So sort of three questions there: business, financial markets, and the economy in the year ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm actually, the year has started off with quite some volatility. And I mean, the business, I mean, as you know, I'm in the retail investment space. So it's always been a roller coaster, to be honest, the last few years. But it shows that already January has shown that it doesn't stop. I mean, look at the tech market at the moment. It has been a real challenge since the beginning of the year. But also there are a lot of ongoing regulatory discussions about, you know, harmonizing the European Union a little bit more. Also making sure there is a level playing field. And at the same time, we're discussing, as of, well, a few weeks ago already, potential interest rates hikes. So if you all take that into consideration, that all translates to the business. I know you mentioned there are three different questions, but for me, as a retail investment firm, they're all interrelated. The economy, the markets are completely linked to the business. So if you see what's happening now, there's a lot of volatility in the financial markets. And there's also a little more uncertainty, at least in comparison to 2021. And therefore, that translates back to a very exciting business opportunity for us on the one hand. At the same time, it also translates to a threat, because obviously we have a lot of people that are invested, a lot of people that have, at least from our longer term, mid to long term investment product, they have positions and they are applying dollar cost averaging. And sure, they have quite a sizable balance with us. If markets go down and they're heavily invested in the tech sector, that hurts them, right? And we try to make sure always that our interests are as much aligned as possible with our customers. So anything that's happening in the financial markets is, well, also impacting us as a firm. So from that perspective, I'm actually quite excited about 2022 because this is just the beginning of the year. There's so much more stuff coming, and that roller coaster will definitely continue throughout the year. And if I just look at the fintech business, specifically the first part of your question, then obviously, you know, if you look back the past few years, you see that finally fintech is really starting to have a strong foothold, and that more corporate, larger companies in the financial services sector are now finally acknowledging fintech firms as a real threat. And that is, that acknowledgement is actually quite important, because that's when you've shown that you actually are at the beginning of that hockey stick and really bring them the heat.
And it's interesting because I saw today one of my podcast guests, ex-podcast guests, posted online that UBS has just acquired a wealth management robo company for like $1.4 billion, right?
Yeah, Wealthfront in the US.
Yeah, correct. There we go. Right. So this is it, right? It is interesting that the larger institutions seem to be taking notice and now looking out into the fintech space and the acquisitions. I mean, this is one example. I could rattle off a few more. The acquisitions seem to be maybe at the forefront of the larger institutions' minds. Is that a correct statement? Is that what you see?
I think so. Look, consolidation always happens. We saw it in Europe as well. I mean, yes, JP Morgan also acquired Nutmeg, obviously already before. Yeah. So there's quite some stuff happening in the space. And there are two things happening I see at the moment. Yeah. You have the larger wealth management firms or investment firms that are acquiring more of the challengers, let's say.
Yeah.
You've got Aberdeen, for example, also doing a large acquisition. Obviously, this has been in the UK with their acquisition of the investment firm. And in the end, there are more from that, where that came from, I think. At the same time, there's also consolidation happening within the more smaller traditional brokerage firms, right? You have Saxo buying Bing Bank, you've got Flatex buying DEGIRO in Europe. So there's a lot of stuff happening from that perspective. And I think that's only going to continue in 2022, especially if valuations are changing quite rapidly, which is currently the case in the fintech space, right? Yeah. And look, if you allow, for example, look at Robinhood. I mean, they've IPO'd, the price is now, I think, the fourth of the peak that they had before. And that automatically makes them an interesting acquisition target. But potential other firms are also more interested potentially to be acquired by them because the price is so low. And therefore, we all believe there's a lot of potential. Yeah. So there's a lot of appetite and there's a lot of potential in the market with regards to these types of M&A deals.
I see this. And if we take another look at sort of the road ahead and bring in some other technology that is starting to cause a bit of noise and starting to be spoken about, and that technology is the uprise or the integration of something called the metaverse. And I say this because, you know, you and I were chatting earlier on and we said, you know, it is going to be good to actually start getting out there at a point in time in the UK and most probably all around the world as 2022 moves on, and getting on there and having coffees, meeting people face to face, because we feel that it's a people's business, right? Business is, you know, about people. We want to go out there and meet people. But now there's this new tech coming out, which is called the metaverse. And I just want to get your view on that and how you see this playing a role in 2022 and also playing a role in your expansion journey and your growth journey. Is it something you're considering? If it is, why are you considering it?
So to be honest, I'm quite bullish on the whole metaverse and all the technology behind it. I do think that it's all about timing. And if you purely look at the fintech space, I think it's relatively early for that to play a significant role. That's what I think. If you look at, for example, our own industry, we are, if you compare us just to e-commerce or to travel, for example, and you look at the brokerage space, we're very much behind. Even the fastest developed technology in terms of technology firms are still very much behind. If you just look at, for example, AI or machine learning techniques, right? At some point, we as a neo broker, and I strongly believe in that, should move in that direction, right? So you have the first step already. Well, looking at DeFi, like I said, we of course launched our own token. We've got cryptocurrencies already as an offering. And we're looking really into that innovation space. Mm-hmm. The next phase, therefore, is more DeFi solutions, potentially NFTs, those kind of things. Mm-hmm. And then the next phase is more AI, machine learning driven technologies. And I think once we get to that point, the whole role of the metaverse starts playing a larger role, because that you can link a lot better to AI and machine learning techniques. Why? Because you want to make sure that every customer has a personalized experience. If they come into our shop, let's call it that way, you want to make sure that we cater the shop towards their needs and their requirements. Mm. And I think that every e-commerce company, every travel company will make sure of that they apply at least those techniques in the metaverse. And I don't think that the brokerage industry is that far already. So therefore, I think for 2022 specifically, I think it's early and that they're not going to be a lot, the metaverse is not going to play a significant role. From 2023 onwards, if though the metaverse is going to pick up further pace and further in popularity, yes, then definitely it will play a significant role.
And you mentioned the stack and making certain that the end consumer feels that they are getting a lot out of the service or the application that they're using, right? And it's interesting because we live in this world where, in this instance, we want information at our fingertips. We also want to feel, in a way, I don't want to say it in inverted commas, loved, right? We want to feel that we're getting as much out of something that we're spending time on as we can. And I think, in my head, it's making certain that as business owners, we are being connected with our public, right? Because it seems like with the advent of, we just spoke about the metaverse and we on social all the time and, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. It seems like we're moving from this information age to an age of connectiveness, right? We need to be more connected to one another because we might get an interesting idea from a new app, the Bucks crypto app, whatever it is, or we might be using LinkedIn to be better connected with, I don't know, the markets in the US as an example. So yeah, I mean, is that connectiveness part of what you guys are thinking about when you are starting to move towards your 2022 goals, both from an internal point of view and also external point of view from a customer point of view?
Yeah, that's true. This is actually one of the reasons we've launched that our own token, for example.
Yeah.
That's all related to our community being more involved. I think the most important thing here is that, you know, you need to make sure that you have a more human experience. At least, I mean, in this day and age, Richard, this is more important than ever.
Yeah.
And so,
how do you do that? How do you do that with tech, right? How do you have a more human experience? What are we talking about here?
Well, I mean, put an actual person behind, you know, any communication that you have, right?
Yeah.
Look, I can easily create bots and have chat bots and stuff like that.
Nice.
But then the whole human experience disappears. So we on purpose decided not to do that, but have an actual person always involved in the conversation. So if you are contacting customer support, then there's an actual person responding to you. If you post something on the community forum, right, then there's actual people replying to you and helping you out with whatever your question may be. Mm. If we, for example, get an email from a person, right, we will put a lot of effort and time into responding to every single email that comes in, right? We have a feedback email where people can send feedback to. We answer every single one of those feedback emails, right? I mean, yes, it does cost a little bit more overhead, but I think that is costs that have a very good ROI, to be honest.
But it comes back to what you were saying earlier, right? It comes back to what is the, to unlock profits, what's the thing that you need to focus on? People. And people, not just internally or not just from a sales perspective or marketing perspective, but it's also from a support perspective and also the public, right?
And we have to. Yeah. We're a B2C company, right? Yeah. So in the end, our customers is what driving the value of our firm. So yeah, you need to make sure that customer experience is top notch. And look, in the end, I do believe, and that's maybe my own thinking, and maybe I'm very personal on this, but if you have people that are happy working for you, that automatically translates also towards them helping out the people that use the platform. It comes back from every angle. And the only way to properly do that is to make sure that you invest in your internal people and that they can eventually translate to the clients and make sure that those communication lines are all there and that we're very open and transparent as much as we can. Mm. It's not that I have the holy grail, obviously, because it's the total package, right?
Yeah.
It's making sure those communication lines are there, making sure that you invest in your people, making sure that you always have a human experience as a response. You're also proactive on social media and can make sure that people can respond to you as well. You do a proper reach out, you do research, you have focus group, you invite people over for meetups. All these factors play a role in creating a successful company in the end.
I like it. I like it a lot. And it reminds me of another Dutch company and guest that I've had on the show a couple of times. You might know him, Tom van der Loop from Avigi. And it's interesting. We were talking about the whole people, I guess, scaling up part of his business. And he said to me, this was the last year, November or December. And he said to me, you know what, Richard, I've been doing this for a number of years and I've now come down to one question that we're asking ourselves and our people internally. And that one question is this: what will it take you as team members, people, employees, what will it take for you to stay here for the rest of your lives? And I thought that was crazy, right? I thought, you know, crazy, but just so, so good. It's just like the best question ever. Why? Because there's all this noise about talent and other things in the market. But, you know, Tom and his team are looking at it totally differently. They're looking at the person in the position that they can work with to get towards their life and career dreams. And then there's a knock-on effect, just as you say, there's a knock-on effect to the business, to the customers, to every single interaction, every single part of the ecosystem that they play in, right? And that's a hidden secret that once unlocked, as you say, it gives everyone something, right?
Yeah, I agree. Well, Tom's a genius, that's all I can say.
Yeah, he's great. He's Dutch. He has to be. Yeah, there's lots of geniuses out there. But listen, as you wrap up this section, we've spoken a lot about 2022, but what other opportunities can you see out there that leaders need to look for as they head into 2022? What hidden opportunities are out there that you can see are up for the picking and are relevant to help people and executives and founders scale up their businesses?
Yeah, I think there is a big opportunity in changing the way people manage firms. There is a big change happening. And I think if you look at, of course, look, D&I, of course, is a big discussion point already for quite a while. But I think that at the moment, we're finally reaching that point where these type of things just play a larger role. And I think, you know, the way people manage their companies from a very top-down approach just doesn't work anymore. Because especially in the tech scene, the role of engineers, developers becomes so predominant. Yeah. And you need to take these guys. These guys are extremely smart and also understand, they're often also users of the product. Yeah. And they understand very well what the larger customer base also wants and needs. And they're more eyes on the ground than they ever were before.
Yeah.
And therefore, the top-down approach just doesn't work anymore. So you need to have a more bottom-up or more hybrid model. Mm. And that changes the way in which people need to manage their firms. And I think that opportunity is now out there, because I think with everything that's been going on in the economy and remote working and people now finally going back to the office, this is actually the moment to make that change.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think 2022 is going to be the year where that change will actually accelerate a little bit more than it has before. So that's one thing. The second thing is that finally people understand the role of being connected to each other, the role that the network plays. Previously, people took it for granted. It was a nice to have. But now, of course, the people are working remotely. They've been less in contact with each other. They see what the business impact is. Yeah. And to be connected with like-minded people for sparring sessions or just for just ideation, right?
Yeah.
I think that's now also more important than ever. And that's also where a huge opportunity lies in 2022, because hopefully, and I assume, that we can go a little bit more back to the normal lives where people have face-to-face interactions and can, you know, actually establish that network effect.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome. And yeah, great vision there and great insights. And yeah, as we wrap up that part of the show, we hit the drums.
All right, here we go.
And we go into the flash round. The flash round, as everyone knows, a bit of fun at the end of the show. I ask Yorick two or three questions, and then I give the mic back to him or over to him, and he asks me one question. It's a bit unfair, but that's the way it is. Here we go. So, quick questions, quick answers. Are you an introvert or extrovert?
Extrovert.
UK or the Netherlands?
UK.
Oh, wow. Okay. Are comms vital or only a little bit?
No, vital.
Brilliant. Yeah, love it. Okay, I'm going to hand over to you. Any burning question you've ever wanted to ask Richard?
Yeah, no, absolutely. This is my chance, Richard.
This is your chance, I told you. Yeah.
You'll get burned.
Yeah.
Actually, my question is quite a simple one. You have a lot of guests on the podcast, of course, that you've had.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, from all the guests that you've had before, yeah, right, on the podcast,
yeah,
was there one that stuck with you specifically, yeah, and why? And I'm not talking about the person,
yeah,
but more about the comment or the topic, somebody that said something. You just mentioned the one from Tom, for example. Yeah. But there must be one where you, that really, really impressed you and it stuck with you. And I'm just curious which one that is and why.
You know, I'll say Tom, but I've always said Tom. So I'm going to go on to someone else. And I've had lots of different guests. I mean, I've gone through the world basically on my podcast show, which has been pretty good. And I think I'm going to go back to my friend now, Tom from Vigi. And I think it's this. I think, you know, we've had a few chats on and off air, and our first podcast together a couple of years ago, he was talking about purpose and the importance of purpose, the importance of purpose and how it drives not only you, but your company. And if you have a foggy purpose, it means that there's going to be some issues when you start walking through and scaling up and growing your business. And if you have a clear purpose, a purpose that is bold, it's, when I say bold, it's there, people can see it, you talk about it, it allows you to then take that purpose and really integrate it into the fabric of your business, and also the fabric of the people that are coming into your business. And what I mean by that is you're able to take that one vital piece of information and instill it into a sub-product in sales, a sub-product in marketing, a sub-product in your product or your service that you're developing. And this term culture is actually not a worry anymore, because you've got a strong purpose. You're all as a team now driving towards that purpose. And the culture is the culture, because you started this at the beginning of your business and not quickly towards the end or too quickly towards when you started scaling. And that, I think, is a really salient bit of advice. You know, if you are starting or in the midst of something and you're feeling that you're unsure, go back to why you started. What is the purpose? And really start communicating that and start living it, start breathing it. And your team, et cetera, will then follow suit. And then you have your team, your public will follow suit, your investors, your team, your customers. And I think that sticks out a lot. And it's something that, in all honesty, it really hit home for me.
Yeah, fair point. That's a good, very strong point, because in the end, we all should know why we're all doing this, right? Spending so much time, effort, and blood, sweat, and tears into the company. And having that purpose is, of course, the rock, effectively, the basics, the foundation of everything that you do.
Yeah. And it's interesting, because I think also right now, as we start in, there's some movement, right? There's some movements in how people live, in how people want to earn money, et cetera. And what I'd say to those people, even if you're an employee or a team member or a manager, you know, you should also have a purpose. Why not? You should have a purpose, and the purpose should match the purpose of the company that you're working for. And then you're going to start fulfilling whatever it is you want to fulfill in life. And I think a stronger purpose, a stronger self-purpose is so important, because, as you say, we said it's about people at the start of this. It is about people. If everyone, you know, has a purpose and we're all aiming towards a certain goal, you know, things actually become quite wild and quite fun, right? And why not? That's what we're here to do, right?
Yeah. No, exactly. Good cool. stuff, man.
Okay, so if the guys and the girls out there want to get in touch with you and the team at Bucks, I'm sure they can follow you and even reach out to you or others in your team. How should they do that, mate?
Well, I mean, I'm not difficult to find, to be honest. So, I mean,
he lives in North London.
There we go. Just stroll around Islington, you'll find me. No, I mean, it's not that difficult. Like, I'm on LinkedIn, you can find me and just connect. I'm quite open to any new connections there. Obviously, you know, you can visit our website, box.com, and find any information that you need. And also from that website, you can reach out. You can download the app. And also, if even if you chat with customer support and you want to get in touch with me, they will contact me as well on your behalf. So, I mean, in the end, it's not difficult. We're very transparent, open. So you'll find your way for sure.
Oh, brilliant. And if you want to get in touch with Yorick, do that. And as we wrap up the show, what I'd like to leave you with is, remember, I've got a book coming out. It's coming out in the next week or so. If you want to be on the distribution list for that, send me an email to richard@scaleupconsulting.co and I'll get you on the distribution list. It's going to be a free book for a certain period of time until it goes for sale online. So drop me a note and be part of that distribution list, and would look forward to getting out to you. And listen, mate, again, awesome to have you on the show. Really enjoyed the conversation and the discussion. And as always, good luck for 2022 and looking forward to it, right?
Thanks, Richard. I can't wait to read the book, man. I'm really, really excited about it.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Okay, cheers, buddy.